This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
As I was watching realities unfolding around me this week, as I was watching the news, the election results, and all the comments around those realities, I was asking myself, Lord, how did we get here? I'm hearing, I don't know because I was not born here, I came here pretty late. I'm hearing only that there were times in the history of the United States when Republicans and Democrats could live together peacefully and respectfully. But it looks like right now, if you are a Democrat, you don't want to live in a Republican neighborhood, or they don't want you to live there. And if you are a Republican, you don't want to live in a Democrat neighborhood, or they don't want you to live there, to live there. And, you know, it's pretty tough to understand these realities when you think about the fact that some of these people should be, or supposed to be, Christians. And we are part of this society. When I was thinking about this, I remembered a story about an old man having his two twins, twin boys, on his lap. And both of the boys were caressing the cheek of grandpa, one on one side, the other on the other side. Both of them had his own cheek. And at one point, one said, "My cheek is more beautiful than yours." The other said, "No, that's not true. Mine is more beautiful than yours." And the other said, "No, that's not true," and slapped the cheek on the other side. And the other said, "No, that's true," and he slapped the cheek on the other side. And the first went on saying, "No, for sure, mine is more beautiful," and he started pulling the beard on the other side. And the other said, "No, mine is more beautiful," and he pulled the beard on the other side. And poor grandpa, a good man, he was looking at them, and big drops of tears appeared in his eyes, and they moistured both of grandpa cheeks. Both of those cheeks were beautiful. Because what is more beautiful about a human being than being good, in spite of everybody being bad? You know, I would like to read a Bible passage from Romans chapter 12. A beautiful description, and I will read a longer passage. I don't used to do this, but I would like you to see how beautiful the gospel sounds. Let love be without hypocrisy. Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be on the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, if it is possible. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. This is where my title comes from. Feed the homeless and your enemies. If your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Lord, let it be so. Through the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would like to focus in a special way on this final verse of chapter 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The first part of it seems to be pretty easy, because it kind of suggests that you can just stand by or stay passive. Do not be overcome by evil. Curl up. I don't know if you know what is a hedgehog. Have you seen a hedgehog? It's a little animal with strong spikes. And if you touch the animal, he will curl up and all the spikes will come out, and you cannot touch really that animal. And some people, some Christians, believe that's all it takes to passively resist evil. But what the Bible says is, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's not only passive, but it's active reaction to evil. Overcome evil with good. Well, that may work in fairy tales, but real life seems to run counter to this reality. Something like this only Jesus could invent, right? And he did that when he brought what God means to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Just look what he says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Really? Verse 45. That you may be children of your Father in heaven, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. 46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? 47. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? And now comes the famous verse that can easily be misinterpreted. Be perfect. That is, be mature. Be mature, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect, as he is mature. What does that mean? Well, it takes more. Maturity takes more than just resist evil. God says, overcome evil with good. Can that really happen? And look how Paul illustrates what that means. In Romans chapter 12, verse 20, Romans 12, verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Oh, somebody may say, oh, I like that. This final part of the passage, heaping coals of fire on somebody's head, I like that. As much as I can. More coals. And even more, let it burn on somebody's head. What people don't know here is that this is actually a quotation from the Old Testament. You can see Proverbs 24:25 there. And in those days, giving somebody coals of fire was not a curse, it was a blessing. Because in those days, you had to keep the fire going in the fireplace. Otherwise, you will not have fire. So everybody tried to do that, keep the fire burning. But sometimes the fire will just go out. So what would you do then? You would take a clay pot and go to your neighbor and ask for some coals of fire. And your neighbor would give you coals. In some instances, you would put your pot down and your neighbor would take coals from the fireplace and put in your vessel, and then you will lift it up carefully and put it on your head. Why? Because you don't want to burn yourself if you carry fire in front of your face. Or in some instances, you could even just scoop down with the with a pot on your head, and he would put the coals right there. That shifts the whole reality, doesn't it? Because then you realize the more coals you can put on somebody's head, the bigger the blessing is. And bless your enemy. Somebody was asked, a wise man, some people say it was Abraham Lincoln, but the story is much older than him. The wise man was asked, listen, why instead of destroying your enemies, you always show mercy to them? And the wise man said, you know, when you turn your enemies into friends, don't you destroy them? Right? And what a beautiful verse in Psalm 23, when it says, Psalm 23 verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, God says. And we've become so selfish that we believe God prepares a table for us in front of our enemies so that we can enjoy God's blessings and the enemy will be frustrated because we have it and they don't have it. When in fact, if you read the gospel and you read the Bible in its entirety, you will see that if God prepares you a table before your enemy, it's because God wants you and your enemy to sit and eat at the same table. But can you do that? And you know, I said in my title, feed your homeless. It's a wonderful thing, feeding your homeless. The homeless need to be fed. But you don't have to be a Christian to feed the homeless. Do you agree? I mean, anybody can feed, in theory, the homeless. And there are organizations, non-Christian organizations, atheist organizations, that do just that. They feed the homeless. And I want to appreciate my church family, Hope Ministry, Children Ministry, Youth Ministry, and all the other ministries that are involved in feeding the homeless. Yeah, the homeless have to be fed. But what I'm trying to point out, what makes you different from anybody else, from the tax collector, Jesus said, or from the pagan, it is not you feeding the homeless. If there is anything that makes you different from any other people, is you feeding not the homeless, and not that the homeless don't need to be fed, you have to feed them, but feeding the haters. Oh, but how can I do that? I don't hate anybody, Pastor. I really don't hate anybody, but they hate you. Because the Bible is not only about don't be overcome by evil. The Bible is also about overcome evil with good. And that is beyond human. And no matter how much you want to believe and you kind of tell yourself, listen, I don't hate anybody. I'm fine. I'm all right. You have to look into your own face. You have to have the ability to search yourself in God's presence and ask yourself, is that real? Is that real? There was a king that was looking at the beautiful paintings on the wall of his palace. And those were the portraits of the kings that reigned before him. And he said, why won't I call a famous painter to the palace so he can paint my face as well, and I will have a picture in the gallery of the big kings that reigned in this kingdom. So that's what he did. The most famous painter came to the palace, and the king told him, master, this is my desire for you to paint my face. And the painter says, majesty, I'm more than honored to do that. I'm in the service of my king. And the king said, yeah, but I have a detail that I need. I have a request, a special request. You see this ugly scar on my face? I need you to paint me without that ugly scar. To which the painter said, my king, your majesty, I cannot do that. Because no matter how beautiful that painting will be, that will not be you. And the king said, oh, that's horrible. How can you do that to me? And the painter said, listen, if I painted you without that scar on your face, both your reputation and mine will be in danger. And they chased away the painter. And the king said, let the whole kingdom know that I want a painter to paint my portrait. And the street painter came and he told the king, majesty, I will be able to paint you, and I will fulfill your desire, and I can promise the face that I paint will be your face. And the scar will be not on it. Oh, can you do that? Yes, I can. So the king sat on the throne. The painter withdrew in a corner of the throne room, pulled out his canvas, and started to paint the face of the king. And indeed, it was a beautiful painting. No scar on the face. Years later, a mom was walking with a little daughter on the corridors of a museum. And they were looking at the paintings of some famous kings. And the little girl looks at mom and says, mom, look at that man there. Everybody else has two cheeks. Only that man has one. Because he was painted from one side only. But listen. If somebody paints you, or if you paint yourself only from one side, that doesn't mean the other cheek does not exist. It's there. It's not visible, but it's there. And I'm using this illustration just to show me and show you how important it is to search ourselves. Because we say, yeah, we don't hate anybody. We have no problem with anybody. We love everybody. And then we put up resistance against evil. And we don't even care overcoming evil with good. And when you look at this present reality in the United States, when you analyze the course of history, how we got here, it's obvious that we just fought against evil, put up resistance. But we did not care, not even Christians, we did not care to overcome evil with good. I don't know if you had the chance to see this. It's becoming viral on the internet. two guys from Idaho, both running for the seat of governor. And they appear in the same video, campaigning against one another, and they say something to the effect, you should search. I wanted to project it, but we don't have copyright. But you should go and see. So they say something to the effect of, hey, we are running against each other. But there is something that we can agree on. And we agree on that we don't have to defame one another. We don't have to make one another look bad. And win or lose, we will still go on working together. And I'm here to help him, and he's here to help me. And these guys are running for the seat of governor. I don't even know who won. I didn't even check. I don't even care. I care about this spirit of Christ. When you do not only resist evil, don't allow evil to overcome you. No, you make a step forward and you overcome evil with good. Is anybody capable of that? Because listen, if you set your table, if you prepare your table, and you want to invite your enemy to sit with you at the table, your enemy will not come. The psalm says that God prepares a table for me in front of my enemies. And that is a different situation. Feed your homeless, but feed your haters as well. Let me illustrate that with a Bible story that is dear to our hearts from childhood for most of us. Jacob, you know Jacob. After 20 years of being a fugitive, he's finally now going home. He's going home and he's happy. He's joyful, but he's deeply sad and sorrowful as well. Why? Because he's got some memories. 20 years back, he did something horrible to his brother. And his brother at that time wanted to kill him. Did he forget about it? Did he forgive him? How can you forgive? How can you forget something like that? What if he will even kill me now that I'm going back home? And an idea comes to him. I should send a delegation of peace to my brother. And he calls his servants and tells them, go and bring a message of peace to my master, Esau, from his servant, Jacob. Doesn't that sound good? I mean, hey, because of what you did, because of the trick, because of the deceitful maneuver that you played on him, you become the lord of your brother, of your elder brother. So now you switch it around and you go to your brother and say, to my master, your servant. Beautiful attitude, isn't it? But the delegation comes back and they say, Lord, I mean Jacob, there's a problem. Your Lord Esau didn't even want to speak with us. He has no message for you, but he is coming. And he's surrounded by 400 men, 400 warriors. And at that point, Jacob collapses. And he says, Lord, God, you wanted me to go home. You sent me home. And now he's coming. My enemy is coming. You want me to be killed by his hands? And he's desperate. But then again, you know, because he knows the gospel, even if he's in the Old Testament. And he knows, hey, you have to overcome evil with good. So he makes some calculations. What is good? Well, the book of of the prophet that says, this is what good is. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your Lord. What prophet? Micah? Okay. Oh, he came much later. He came much later. But Jacob had that concept of good, because that's the divine good, and God always spoke to his people. So he knows what good is. Yeah, act justly or do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. And he says, okay, walk humbly. Humbly, yeah. I tried that humbleness thing already. I said, to my Lord Esau from your servant Jacob. Isn't that humble enough? Okay, let me do something more. Let me also try mercy. Mercy. Mercy to whom? He's a rich guy. Rich and greedy. Uh-oh. Okay. Let me play the justice trick. I'm going to send him some good gifts. I know he likes those kind of things. And he said, okay. 200 female goats and 20... male goats. That's a beautiful herd already, right? No, that's not all. I'm going to send him 200 ewes and 20 rams as well. Now you have two herds. What else could I send him? Because I'm doing the right thing now. I'm doing the good thing, you know? I walk humbly, do mercy. It doesn't fit the context now. But justice, yes, I'm going to do it. Let me send him a fleet of SUVs. You know what SUVs were in those times? They had the brand Camel. Camel? 30 camels with their colts. So he lines them up. Okay, beautiful. One herd, two herds, and now the SUVs. What else I can do for him? Feed your enemy, you know, feed your enemy. Cows! They need milk. They need cheese. Let me send him how many? Like 40? I think 40. Yeah, 40 would be enough. 40 cows and 10 bulls. All right, what else? They need some donkeys too. Okay, let me send him 20 donkeys, she donkeys, and 10 male donkeys. And when he sees all those things lined up, he says, okay, beautiful. So now let me put back the humbleness wrapping, you know? Because you have to, the justice thing that you are planning in your hand, now you have to wrap it into humbleness. And you tell your servants, listen, guys, you go, and when Esau meets you, and he will ask you, what are you doing here? Where are you going? You tell him this. These things come from your servant, Jacob, to my Lord, Esau. Isn't that beautiful? Let's see the result. Genesis chapter 33, verse 4. And Esau ran to meet him, and he embraced him, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And they wept. Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, but it's not because of that. Not at all. We miss something here. Because on the eve of sending off the package, Jacob cannot sleep. He's tormented. The guilt of what he had done in the past is overwhelming to the point where he wants to be alone, but he's alone already. He doesn't even know what to do. So he crosses the river and he falls down there and he starts praying, Lord God, what am I doing now? And somebody touches his shoulder and he's scared, he's terrified. Who's this? And they wrestle, they fight, and nobody gives up. And in the end, the angel of the Lord touches his thigh, and now he's limping. Now he needs hip replacement. And then he realizes, oh, this is not a human being. This is more than a man. And he asks for for a blessing. And he receives an identity, a new identity. Genesis 32:28. And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed." Okay, I know he fought with God because the angel of the Lord was Jesus himself. God himself was fighting with him. But what man? Did he have to fight his brother Esau and his 40 soldiers? What man did he fight? Well, I don't know how many men he fought in his life, but I know one of them. If you read the book Patriarchs and Prophets, Ellen White pulls the curtain aside and she says that on the night when the angel of the Lord, Jesus himself, was fighting with Jacob, God sent another mighty angel to fight with Esau. Can you visualize this? Two fights going on. There's a fight going on here between Jacob and the angel of the Lord. There's a fight going on here between Esau and another angel of the Lord. More than that, in a dream, Esau sees the camp of Jacob surrounded by angels. That's why if you go to the Bible and read the description, the story, you will see all kind of angelic manifestations in that story. There were angels all over the place. So then the question is, how am I going to overcome evil with good? Whom should I really fight? Who were the people that Jacob had to overcome? Well, the first enemy was he himself. And it was not him overcoming himself, really. It was the angel of the Lord. And there is no victory against evil, no overcoming evil with good, unless it starts with me. Because if I am overcome with the good, the greatest good, the good one, God himself, that's when I become an instrumental of fighting evil, not in the sense of, hey, go away, but in the sense of, come. Come and let's become friends. With this beautiful message of the gospel, knowing this beautiful message and having this experience in our life, brothers and sisters, you and I, we are supposed to do, to make a difference, to create a different reality in our world. The United States, as it is right now, needs this message. Needs you going with this message. The United States, the divide, the gap is so deep. There's no way for anybody to come over unless you go and overcome evil with good. We live in a day, in a segment of history where the genuine message of the gospel has to go out. And it will not go out unless you and I will be carrying it. And yes, you may have one kind of views or other kind of views. And okay, to some degree, that's normal and wonderful. But we cannot, as Christians, hate our enemies and reject them. The Bible teaches me, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Because God himself has prepared a table in front of you, in front of your enemies. Why? To sit together and enjoy his blessings together. I want to finish with this Bible verse. Look how God's goodness is being emphasized in this Bible verse. Oh, Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?
One more thing to blow my mind. Yes, it's just when I thought you've done more than enough, you do one more thing to blow my mind.
We praise you, we glorify you for your goodness. So many times we've said, God is good. And they answered all the time. Or we said all the time. And we answered, God is good. But was that visible? Has that been visible in our lives? Are we good indeed? So that people can say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, we understand this is beyond our power. The gospel is not human invention. It is Jesus Christ bringing you to us. So I pray, Father, that each one of us, your children, will be able to be bridge builders. And we will be able to overcome evil with good in our society. Let us be agents of your healing in your church, in our families, in society, and everywhere. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit, amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.